Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope.
No other sausage is welcome.
And the Bulldog.
Like, I am very familiar with my kielbasas.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. The Leafs news is big. Takes you back a little bit. But not before the arrival of Gergensens and Larson on the Sabres roster.
No, sir.
In fact, not only were they on the team the year before Eichel, they were on the team the year before that. 13-14. Torrey Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Conacher.
I mean, Gergensens...
Gergensens played 70 games that year.
Gergensens was drafted by Darcy the same year they drafted Grigorenko, and Gergensens got here first. And like he had that first year, he played in Dubuque in the USHL, which I, before he was drafted, didn't really know what the USHL is. Now I've been to a game in Dubuque.
We should all get to one.
And saw Gergensens, like he's in the, you know, on the Wall of Fame there. He made it out of the USHL into the NHL and has had a career. And there is something to be said for that that's not specific to his still being on this team and being frustrating. So he turns pro, like, rocky but strong finish to the year in Rochester, and then the next year he's just here. He showed up here as a pretty young guy.
He's never left.
And has never
made an all-star game.
Right.
Voted onto an all-star team. He's never left. He's not number one for me. Like, the it's the sum total of these issues, these apparent problems that together are making us crazy. And the stagnant nature of the Sabre roster, of Sabre's life, is just making us crazy. Their record isn't that bad. They won most of their games early, and we're all kind of talking and feeling like it's just over, which is only maybe right to do. It's still only 21 games. But it makes sense that it is like that, and I feel that way. Gergensens is not like they have to do. Ristolainen is number one. Ristolainen for years literally has meant, are you sure you know who your good players are? And the Sabres have done everything possible to pump up Ristolainen and his importance. He plays all the minutes. He has all the matchups. That is still happening largely, which is just unfathomable to me in this day and age. In the 70s, it might have been okay. We might not have even noticed. Not in this decade. So there, one. Two, Sobotka is, on its own, to me, unbelievable. You traded for him, okay. That was hopefully because they made you take him. And he performed at such a level last season that there was just no way a real team brings him back. One way or another. Mm-hmm. Waivers, buyout, Europe, trade. One way or another, there's just no way he's in your lineup. You've missed the playoffs 8 years in a row. You got to have some respect for the people that support you. There's just no way you can do that. There he is, playing with Jeff Skinner all the time. Like, you got to be kidding. One, two. Then, like, there's a bunch of things that can come next. Gergensens can come next. Scandella has been good this year, or else he could come next. You can't get out of Oposo's deal, so that's different.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel bad about his situation. Like, McCabe, maybe. Like, there's just different things that are sort of more nits in the situation than just egregious. But Ristolainen for me is just the absolutely worst asset management conceivable. And maybe now you're at a point where you can't make the deal. Well, let's just hope that it's that, as opposed to them not wanting to. Like, you can't make the deal because the rest of the league knows what you didn't this whole time. I don't know, maybe. And then Sobotka is just, you've got to tell me what the deal is there.
Yeah.
You've got to explain to me how you justify that.
I really do doubt that the rest of the league doesn't have some value on him. You know, it's interesting. I've always kind of thought we're going to talk to Travis Yost in a little while here, and he had, you know, he's expert in all this stuff. I've always sort of felt like, and he'll tell us if this is right or not, but that Ristolainen and Cody Ceci were pretty comparably used. They're used the same way on bad teams. Ottawa's been bad almost all of Cody Ceci's career there. The Sabres have been bad all of Ristolainen's career here, and they both were charged with holding down number one pair minutes, playing against the other team's best guys, and the results were pretty comparable. I think, anyway, that's like a broad read for me on that. And now Ceci is in Toronto, and he's playing big minutes against the other team's best guys. I read a long quote from Dubas, who's Mr. Numbers, right, the GM of the Leafs, sort of defending. The guys always are going to have to defend their guys. Like the guys on the team, we took him on. He's got to play a role for us. There's a salary cap. But Dubas talked about, like, look, the guys that play those minutes, they're going to make mistakes. Some of the numbers are going to be bad. It's just how it goes. They're playing the other team's best guys. It's not advantageous, and it's tough. And I think, like, I hear that from a guy like Dubas, and how much of that is just defending your guy, and how much of that do you really believe? But if a guy that's into the numbers feels that way about that guy, I would think other GMs are still going to value Ristolainen. I think you still would have value there. So,
and that's, like,
make the move.
There are plenty of GMs, I think, that are still in the dark.
Right. So, yeah, right.
If you're in the dark, you won't even notice.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. It is, it's still for me. I mean, that's what I wrote about this week. It's like, that trade never happened. And now I got a defenseman playing wing. And, like, those don't directly correlate. You know, like, that's not why. Like, you could have made that trade, and you could still have this injury situation that would put Gilmore in the lineup playing forward. Like, I recognize that. But the frustration is that you just did not make that move. That was the move that was called for. Like, I was positive of it. It just had to happen. And I don't know if that's overvaluing the player and not finding a trade partner that would meet that demand, or, you know, I find it dubious to think that nobody else wanted him, considering who runs these teams. You know, if one of the most enlightened guys as it pertains to that stuff is going to take on Cody Ceci, I think you can probably find somewhere to park Rasmus Ristolainen where a team's going to go, yep, he cross-checks people.
Well, I don't disagree with the overall point. Who knows with the Leafs? Life is about making compromises. You know, they had two different ideologies going there, and they're down to one after today,
yeah.
I think. But who knows? Like, there are some things with the Sabres that I can understand. Even like with the lines. The lines are a problem. Line combinations are a problem for some people, but I'm not really bent about that. I can understand it. I think ideally you would want to have talented, like your most talented offensive players spread out a little bit. I think that makes more sense. There's different schools of thought on that. The ultimate problem is they have too many guys who can't keep up. And no matter how you juggle them, don't we know this over the years by now? It's mostly the same guys. No matter how you juggle them, what you get is largely the same. And if you give, you know, if you stick Pilot in the minors and you dump guys who have nice possession stuff and they've had a few guys that the fans didn't necessarily like, but the numbers like, the Sabres just had no time for it. It goes back to Murray. It goes back even before him. Just no, Ristolainen, he's our man. McCabe, these are, you know, like good boys. These are our guys. And then like years go by, hundreds of games go by and you get stomped on and you can't see the light. I don't know. I mean, I think people have the right to be furious over that. If not to that extent, just because of the imbalance on the roster and the numbers, and here's Jason Botterill yesterday talking about how vital it is to have defensive depth. I mean, like, John Gilmore is suddenly, like, a critical figure in all this. Just Nelson, Pilot, where just doesn't make sense. The choices they've made do not make sense. Someone tell me. What explains Sabaka? I know what I get when we ask the GM. To those of you out there, respectfully, to those of you out there who seem to, somebody always makes the point, like, why don't you talk like this to the GM? Have you ever paid attention to how these people answer questions in those settings, GMs, coaches, players? Do you ever think you're really getting the whole story? You ever think sometimes, you know, like with Murray, I felt like there was an opening. There was often was an opening. Mm-hmm. Botterill, I'll tell you, McDermott, Botterill, these guys, you ask me the question, I'll tell you what they're going to say. Experience, locker room, depth, salary cap league, tough to make deals. I mean, that's it. So, I mean, maybe that sounds like a cop-out. I don't know. We've asked some of these questions over the years. You tell me why he is still on this run. How, not why, how he is still on the team. What? You had Housley last year talking about his value on the penalty kill, which was provably false. You could look at a computer and see that it was wrong, and the Sabres let their coach go the whole season saying that and coaching the team. You tell me how much faith you're supposed to have in all this. They don't even know, right? Didn't we have a caller earlier? All these people out here who know all this stuff, how could they not? A good question. How could they not? So he's back at big... What did they need that for the locker room? What?
I don't know how you could have gone through last year with how he was described to have been. Not that he was a big problem, but... he certainly did not seem like someone who was happy to be there. And that's different this year, but still. I mean, I don't have an answer for you. You know that. I mean, I don't understand it.
Apologies in advance. If you suck, there is no point about what's the merits of things in the locker room. There's nothing there that matters to me. I think this is right. You don't have a locker room factor if your team sucks. That's, you get to that. You got to have a team that can hold its own. And then if you need to tweak it, like we have seen, if you're old enough to remember good Buffalo sports teams, you've seen these sort of moves made in the past. Some have worked and some not. Like, okay, well, here's the key man, you know? Like O'Reilly was supposed to be. That team wasn't good yet. But, you know, there are certain players that are... that. Anyway, if your team stinks... Who cares for 5 seconds what kind of locker room scene you have? You're nowhere. And I'm not even telling you that this is the answer on him. I can't imagine what it is. Mm-hmm. And the combination of these things has eroded, to put it mildly, the confidence in a large portion of the fan base. Do you not know who your good players are or who your bad ones are? Do you not know? I can imagine that question. What an awful question to ask about a professional team. What an insulting, rude, awful question that is. I'm in no rush to ask it, but in this situation, and this didn't start today, this goes back a year or two for me, I just think it has to be asked because I just don't know how you get to these conclusions. And these games go by, and they're still, like, so bad. And, like, is it a mystery? Is it confusing? What did I ask you the other day? What do you think they think explains the losing? You know? Like, what do you think they think it is? They have tried some things.
Mm-hmm.
There were some trades. There were some acquisitions. And this season is not, like, fully decided yet. Right?
No, there's a lot of time, and they're not right? Sunk yet. They're, you know, they're in fourth place.
100% they are thinking that way.
Yes.
100% they're right. Thinking, like, what do you mean? This is not over yet. This team, we're still running the race. But, you know, we heard the same thing last year and the year before that. And, you know, go ahead and run your race, right? You never know.
You're right, sure.
You never know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still, you know, I'm the... listen, for all this talk today and, like, you know, the story I shared at the very outset of the show, tomorrow night I'm going to be parked in front of the TV hoping they find a way to beat the best team in the league, or one of them anyway. That's the Bruins. Like,
yes.
I will still do that. Like, I'm
– Bulldog know. Said earlier it flashed through his mind that maybe he wanted to get concussed and miss work today.
Yeah.
Because of this.
Yeah, that's the Cliff Notes version.
That's the Cliff Notes. By the way, on Gergensen and Larson and their history with the Sabres, like, the first thing I said was they were on the team with Hodgson, and then I said they were on the team with Stafford, and then I said they were on the team with Torrey Mitchell and Corey Conacher, and Rob, a listener, writes, I think I like most that they played with Erhoff. And then he came back with, I think I like this even more. They traded Pominville to Minnesota for Larson. Pominville played out his years in Minnesota, then came back, then retired. And Larson is still on the team. Right. Like that. What do you like most? What would you use
right.
in a setting where you're asked to describe, you know, just sort of in short how long it's been? What would you pick?
Yeah, that's pretty good. I don't think Pominville's actually retired.
Okay, no, right,
but
right, right.
He's just not on a team this year. Yeah, but yeah, the point's made.
They were wrong to not have him back on this team. His numbers were better than Vesey. You didn't need to trade for Vesey. You just needed to keep a guy who mattered to the fans and was better than him on your roster. He was here already. He wanted to play. Am I wrong about any of that? Like, what? That was a bad idea. This was just you. That was the move. You could have done something else instead, but between those two things, that was the move. Unless, like, he just was a different player after last season because of age or something.
Nah, I don't know.
We didn't get that far.
No, you could.
As far as we know.
No, you want. Here's an idea. All right, stay with me. You want to have more goals? Have both of those guys on your team and divest yourself of Sobotka. Like, there you go. Like, go get VC. He scores 17, 18 goals a year. Okay. I can get in the teens from Pominville. Okay. There's my third or fourth line. Okay. No, I'm going to choose one or the other. Like, that doesn't make any sense. A lot of it doesn't really add up.
I'm so tired. Aren't we all, like, we're just exhausted trying to analyze it? It's just so futile, it seems. Seems so futile. Again, I'll refer to this caller, Brian, from earlier. It's like, how can we how are we still sitting here making these points and having them get us nowhere? And, you know, look, that sounds pretty cocky. It's not like everything we're talking about has to work or whatever. But what we have is a team that cannot seem to figure out how to win. And these are, I think, correct, reasonable, at least, areas where it's, you know, you can start to explain that, you know, and just what are they going to do? Well, I'm sure you want to read more about this, and you can do that at WGR550.com. Yeah. I've written some of this down. It's a little personal in a couple spots. Travis Yost coming up. You said it. He's the expert.
Is it to the level of personal that I thought about falling off a chair down some stairs so I wouldn't have to come to work today? Is it like that? Did you go that deep?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't have that specific thought.
That would have been weird.
Yeah, right? No, but it's just like it's really upsetting. It's really upsetting. And there are many people, including you, who hockey means a lot more to than it means to me. I like it. But like I wrote, I go home and I don't think about it. You go home and you think about it. Jeremy goes home and he thinks about it and talks about it.
Yep.
And I just don't. I get to a game day and I have to think about whether I have tickets to the game. That happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Do I have tickets to this game? I have no idea. And I looked and I didn't. You know, like if I had, I would have had to scramble. Like I'm not even thinking about it at all. Travis Yost after the update here on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide.
That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
He wants to win. You know, it's frustrating with the team we have right here and success you had at the start of the year, and things not going our way right now. But you see the frustration in a guy like that who's so important to this team. You see the intensity with that. But just an example of you saying that, like, there was no jump in on the bench. Someone like that, like I said, who's so important to the team and trying to spark the team in any way, we got to get up in that. You know, it's one of those things where you need everybody to change the game right there. And you've seen there, like, there was no energy, nothing. So you got to appreciate what he was trying to do, but the team didn't have it.
Brandon Montour.
Definitely. Yeah, I know that one from what he said.
Yeah.
No energy, nothing.
Right. No jump. I mean, I don't know. I swore on Twitter. Like, I try not to do that, but it just felt really appropriate to say holy blank when like that happened. It was just so out of nowhere. I mean, you can hear in the crowd that something's happening behind the play, like there's an altercation, and so there's that anticipation, like, oh my, what's this going to be? And that's sort of dissipated over the years. Like, I'm not as into that, mm-hmm. and it's usually not as eventful anymore because of the way the game is now. It's just a different thing. And so eventually the camera cuts to it, and it's like Eichel is just unloading, and the guy's helmet is flying and never comes down, it looks like. I mean, it's incredible. And to hear Montour say, it didn't really, the desired result, the effect was not what you wanted. Holy cow. I mean, I don't know. Are you dead inside? I mean, I know it's not my go-to option. It's not something I want to see very often, if even ever again. But wow, my reaction was, oh my God. And here's Montour. He's on the bench going it wasn't a rallying cry or anything. Like, okay.
In today's episode of Sabres Life is a Flat Circle, we welcome Travis Yost from TSN. On the Wester Hotline. Travis, how have you been?
How good was True Detective Season 1?
That's a Bulldog show.
It was one of the greatest things I've ever watched on television.
You just gave me a little, positive PTSD from that. As an aside, I'm currently sitting in the middle of a DEFCON 1 level thunderstorm, so if I disconnect, just remember it's because I hate both of you guys.
All right, good. Good to know.
PTSD. Travis, what do you see here with the Sabres? Here we are again. I mean, expectations weren't high, but the start was pretty good, and now we're just asking all the same questions, it seems.
Yeah, it's really frustrating, too, because the opening, let's call it 3 weeks of the season, the numbers were definitively better across the board year over year, even relative to when, the Buffalo win streak last year was mostly, a red herring sort of thing.
Yep.
Everyone knew that the play did not justify where they were in the standings, whereas, the opening 2-3 weeks of this season, call it 10-12 games, Buffalo was playing pretty good. I mean, they were out shooting, out chancing their opponents pretty much across the board. The blue line looked demonstrably better, which I thought, and I still believe it's better than where it was year over year. That looked like the biggest game changer, and the fact that Carter Hutton and Linus Ullmark were actually stopping shots again relative to their second half collapse made this look like a relatively formidable team. But, almost inexplicably, and this is the fascinating thing to me, because I don't remember a year in really – hockey's so wild, but I don't remember a year in recent history – where so many teams have had complete switches flip out of the blue, right? I mean, the big story today is Mike Babcock fired. Okay, we knew Mike Babcock didn't have the longest leash in the world, but expectations for that Maple Leafs team were through the roof, and they just are period not playing well across the board. And, in the case of Buffalo, more of a broader idea or a vaguer idea of where this team would land, but we definitely expect them to be a little bit better than last year. And right now, especially in the last, 2-3 weeks of the season, they have regressed exactly back to where they were last year. And in some cases, it's actually a little more concerning. What I wrote this week, and I would say it's the most concerning point for the Sabres team, is Rasmus Dahlin looks terrible. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely do grade him relative to our expectations. He was phenomenal last year. Yes, it is 100% true. He is a 19-year-old. He has not been dealt a great hand. The organization was deficient on talent from when he first started. But he's playing. He's playing a lot of minutes with Colin Miller and Brandon Montour. These guys are top four established NHLers. And the numbers have completely fallen off a cliff, and it's on both ends of the ice. So he's not only bleeding more defensively, Buffalo is actually completely punchless with him on the ice offensively, which I find completely counterintuitive, right? Like, if you would have expected a Dahlin regression in year two, it'd be like, oh, his off puck play slips. The physicality is not there in a defensive third. Guys are taking advantage of him in a second pairing in an increased role. He's playing less minutes. He's barely getting into the offensive zone. And when they're in the offensive zone, it's a tremendous amount of one and done when he's on the ice. This is your, along with Jack Eichel, your guy. Mm-hmm. And you're not getting results with him on the ice. That is just point blank a doomsday scenario for the Sabres. Even though there are other good things with the lineup, you can't have your superstar defenseman, even if, you know, we apply all of the caveats for a 19-year-old defenseman, which are completely valid. You just can't have a stretch of games like this from a guy and expect everything to be okay. It's the same argument, by the way, just I brought up Toronto a little bit ago. The biggest challenge in Toronto right now is Tyson Barrie has been awful, and they have never been able to replace Jake Gardner. And the combination of CeCe Barrie is probably worse. So it's two hockey teams very close to each other with maybe different expectations, but still playoff caliber expectations. And it's the one or two or three holes that are obvious in the lineup have become very obvious in recent weeks.
With Travis Yost of TSN, just to make sure we get to a few different parts of this situation here, Travis. Knowing that we talked over the summer, I failed to come up with a good explanation for how so little of a Sabre team that floundered from Thanksgiving on last year was brought back. Recognizing, as I hope you would assume that I would, salary cap factors and such. Like, right. Sabatka is in this lineup as a regular. Scandella, who's done all right. Gergensens and Larson were talking about how they played with Christian Ehrhoff here. And like, okay, they're not the worst players in the world, but there's very little happening there. Here, like year six or whatever that is, I don't know. Is it? Can you see an argument? Not, let alone Ristolainen. Can you see a defense for how little has changed here? Like, can you argue for it?
No. The short answer is no. I mean, there's a lot of nuance with this stuff, right? Like, yes, could you have traded Marco Scandella? Yes, and he may have been even a no-brainer. But guess what? Marco Scandella has actually been one of the bright sides for Buffalo, right? Like, he hasn't been all that bad. Vladimir Savoca, I never in a billion years would have perceived him getting into a solidified top-nine role, let alone top-six role. That, to me, I think, is the more concerning part. Because you can absolutely – I made this analogy literally yesterday, but – so much of what a front office and coaching staff do are entangled with one another, right? So it's like, how do you critically evaluate one and not the other? It's almost impossible. But one area where you can draw the line of sand is the front office puts the talent on the roster, and then from that roster setup, we create an expectation of what the coach should be able to get out of it. So, yes, to Ralph Kruger, it might be unfair. Just speaking plainly, it might be unfair that Vladimir Savoca is still a part of this lineup, or Marco Scandella, or any of the players that we were disappointed with jointly last year. But that doesn't mean that Ralph Kruger needs to play Vladimir Savoca the type of minutes he's getting, or Marco Scandella, or whoever, for that matter, you want to put in that bucket. That is completely on the coaching staff, how they allocate minutes. And if you look at it, a lot of the depth guys who had killed this team last year have been put into fairly sizable roles, and that to me is the concerning point. The other piece that I think is fascinating to me, and I have not checked the numbers the last couple of weeks to see if it's still the same, but one of my editors I got into a back and forth with a lot over a reader comment, which are always the best. And the reader comment was, "Hey, you've got your guys." I ordered the four lines, and it was like, "Oh, you got the lines mixed up. The middle stat line's the third line," and I'm like, "No, the middle stat line's the fourth line," and we got into this long back and forth, and it's like, you can think whatever you want about Casey Mittelstadt and the guys he plays with. They are the 10th, 11th, and 12th ranked forwards in ice time, even strength, or all situations. They are the fourth line. And I think that's a really important distinction. Like, we can think about how talent should be deployed, but it's on Ralph Kruger and his coaching staff to actually allocate those minutes. Mm-hmm. And right now, I will give him a little bit of a pass because it is a new lineup. He is a new first-year head coach to this roster anyway. So he's still getting a handle around what works and what doesn't work, and you have to tinker when you're a first-year coach. You just have to. But in the same breath, it's like, hey, man, there's a lot of data. Like, a lot of the guys we're talking about are veteran guys who have struggled for years now in Buffalo or elsewhere and are still getting the ice time. I mean, that to me is a failure on the front office to not displace them, but it's also a failure on the coaching staff to not find ways that you can at least mitigate the damage they can do to your lineup.
Right. To me, Travis, everything in the summer, Colin Miller, the Joki Haru trade involving Alex Nylander, those two chiefly, right-handed D added to all of this. Like we've spent a lot of the summer counting how many guys they had, specifically at right-handed D, which is, of course, what Ristolainen is. And yep. The conclusion was, well, of course. They're waiting for all the RFA dust to settle, and there's going to be a move here. Because I like Marcus Johansson in a certain way, and I like Jimmy Vesey in a certain way. If they're deployed, I feel like I'm talking like you now back to you, which is a little weird, so sorry. But if they're used properly in the right role, not, you know, today Vesey's skating with Eichel, and Johansson's been the number two center all year long when he's proven to be successful as a complimentary winger in like a bottom six role on good teams. And so the failure to make that trade is, for a second year in a row, is exactly the thing that I think is, that's my starting point for what the biggest problem with this team is. It's, you know, it solves the, if there is a sinkhole Ristolainen problem, it eradicates that. And, you know, we'll see who plays those minutes if he's not on the team. But I've got a better group of forwards all down the line because I've added somebody that bumps Johansson and VC down where they should be. And the whole thing is just a house of cards.
Yeah, and look, your comments are not only valid, they're true in other areas too, right? Like, you mentioned the Joki Haru trade. Like, he's been fantastic in a fairly limited role in Buffalo. He's been fantastic. If that trade did not work out, though, look at what's happened on the rest of the blue line. Your by far best defenseman has taken a giant step backwards. Ristolainen is who he is at this point, and you've got, I mentioned Aline, Colin Miller, too, has not been the type of player that he was 2-3 years ago. In fact, he's looked a lot like the player that we saw in the second half of last year with Vegas, which, you know, I thought Vegas went a little far, but, I mean, he was in healthy scratch territory. They could have easily found him a third pairing role on that Vegas roster. There was a cap component to that trade as well when it was engineered. But either way, his game was starting to erode a little bit, and now Colin Miller's dropped into this lineup, and he's struggling on the back end. And, you know, we know that the depth issues at the forward group were obvious and pronounced. And really, you know, the Mojo trade and the BC move, you know, that added some talent to your top nine. And I think a couple of those players, especially Mojo, like those guys are flexible to some degree. You can play them on pretty much any one of those four lines and not be killed because of it. But you haven't eradicated the larger depth. I mean, you just went through all of the guys, the Larsons, the Gergensons, the Sabokas, and I'm not saying anyone individually is responsible for this, but at aggregate, we know that combination has just not worked. And there they are throughout the entire lineup yet again. And, you know, and so in one breath with the forwards, it's like, well, we didn't change enough. We didn't overhaul enough. And then on the blue line, it's like we did make moves, but absent the depth move that cost us Nylander, absent that, the blue line has actually taken a big step backwards. And I actually, you know, I wonder, it almost seems like we're being pessimistic. I will end this on a good note. But, you wonder where this team would be if the goaltending looked like it was in the second half of last year, right? I mean, it would be as catastrophic as it was from that Thanksgiving stretch to the end of the year. You know, but putting all of that aside, and I know it's frustrating to hear, but it is true, there is more talent on this roster than there was a year ago. And the biggest negative right now, the Dahlin regression, I don't think is real long-term. It might be real right now, but I don't think it's real long-term. You can't be that good and that productive as a rookie and fall that completely by the wayside, and it'd be unilaterally because your talent, skill set, toolbox. It's just, we have never seen that happen before. And I think most people would agree, one, he's taking a step back, but two, generally optimistic about where his game is still going in the future. But, you know, it's just fascinating because at every positional group in Buffalo, you can offer a levy of criticisms, and for the most of them, they are fair. And yet at the end of the day, look at this roster, just qualitatively, from where it was one season ago to now, it is a better team. And so maybe to that end, we shouldn't be so pessimistic or negative about their placement in the standings. They are going through a rough stretch, but they are not the only team in that boat. And they've at least banked enough points early on to stay remotely competitive here, and they still are. But they've got to turn it around. And I know that's a vague throwaway statement, but it is what it is. I mean, you go through another 2-3 weeks of losing, they're going to be looking up at pretty much the entire division at this point.
Travis, we might have 90 seconds. I'm thinking of two questions, so try to answer them quickly if you would, please. And then if you do, I got a bonus question. one, is the Leafs move today necessary? Was it necessary?
Yes. That organization, more than anything, I don't know. I'm personally sick of the softening of expectations there. We were talking about a Stanley Cup team that's in like an 8-game losing streak or 30-game losing streak or whatever. You've got to make a change. It's the easiest move to pull. And quite honestly, Mike Babcock has not done himself any service with the way he's deployed his lines over the last year and a half. So it's hard to fire a Hall of Fame coach, and that's where he's going. But he was not nearly getting enough out of that lineup.
Okay, two. Give us your prediction of the two AFC wildcard games.
I think Buffalo goes to Kansas City.
I like it. I agree. 5-4.
I think Buffalo goes to Kansas City. I think Indianapolis gets that sixth slot. Although I got to be honest, man, I have completely reversed course on Oakland. Like, not only have they got these wins in the bank, their second half of the schedule is comically easy. I think Indianapolis is a better team, though. I think the Texans win the division, so Indianapolis in the sixth spot against possibly Houston as a divisional game.
Right. They play tomorrow night, and they played in the playoffs last year. Bonus question? Your food opinions are legendary, and there seems to be no middle ground on anything. And that's the way. That's how you use Twitter. So the thing you're talking about is either the best or the worst. The Olive Garden.
Olive Garden is as bad as the Popeye's chicken sandwich I just had yesterday is good. I understand why everyone's brawling over Popeye's chicken sandwiches. It is the best chicken sandwich I've ever had. It's not even close.
Olive Garden, you don't like it. All right.
I'm out of Olive Garden. Olive Garden, if you want the most bland pasta known to man, you can go to Olive Garden. That's the go-to spot, and I will re-gas them all day long. Come get bland pasta.
All right. I must love bland pasta. Thank you, Travis. Always a pleasure.
Take care, guys.
I don't have a crystal ball, so I mean, anything can happen from that standpoint. Fitz has done a good job. Rosen's, obviously developing in practice. I mean, I know you guys don't see that, but he's definitely making some strides. So to sit here and say it'll be one guy the whole way, I've done that before and I was wrong then. So you just never know.
Miami coach Brian Flores, you never know whether Ryan Fitzpatrick might end up coming back out. He was limited in practice today. Tomorrow night, Indianapolis, Houston. Buffalo, Kansas City could be the 5-4 or it could be the 6-3 in the wild card thing. Either way, it's like a sexy matchup. Let's go see what we've got against Patrick Mahomes and a Chiefs team that has lost games. Even Monday night, like they were dominated mostly on Monday night and still won it against a Charger team that kept screwing up. Anyway, a lot of work to do here first.
Yeah. Gotta beat Denver.
Gotta beat Denver.
Is it right? Does the whole thing sort of go off the rails if they don't beat Denver? I mean, no, there's other games, but the other games are all a lot more intimidating, I think.
It definitely gets intense.
Yeah. Dallas, Baltimore. Sal made the point, and we'll have, half a week or so to sort of dig into this. The matchup. He likes the Dallas matchup better than the Denver matchup for certain reasons. And, I get that. Dallas hasn't played. Their schedule, the teams they've beaten, is marginally better than the Bills have beaten. But they've hammered some people. They can be very potent on offense, and the Bills just finally against Miami last week broke through in that way. So I think they've done more with the crappy schedule than I'd say the Bills have.
On one hand, Denver has like close losses, including to Chicago and Jacksonville. On the other hand, they were to Chicago and Jacksonville. Those aren't good teams
right.
either.
And Dallas did lose to the Jets.
Yes, they did.
So that happened.
And Denver had Minnesota beat and lost, and Dallas just lost to Minnesota. I'm excited for all this, and of course, starting Sunday, Denver at the Bills. 803-0550, mostly been a Sabre day up and down the station. We want to hear your thoughts. Is it so bad? Travis actually turned it around a little bit in a couple of ways, and I appreciate that. 803-0550 is the number heading into the 6 o'clock hour. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.